It doesn't.
I know I've seen this place before, but it's never been so fun.
Yeah. It's never been so fun.
Check it out. Here we go.
I've been on the run. The shadow is a back. It's starting to make sense to me. I can't really make you love me.
No, you know I can't.
I'm on the run. I've been on the run. My shadow weighs a ton. I know I found a recipe for me, but I can't
make you love me.
Oh no, you know I can't
make you love me.
I'm haunted the overseas, haunted on each coast. Played them like Ebenezer, I made them see the ghost. Back from the future, Johnny the Japanese chemo knows. Even though the streets show love, try to see me grow. I often see me floating, but my shadow weighs a ton. Call it baggage, I use it all to advantage. I can't make you love me, this time it's on you. And you can't try to deny these words when they're true. I'm on the run.
I've been on the run, the shadow weighs a ton. It's starting to make sense to me.
I'm
on the run. I've been on the run. My shadow weighs a ton. I know I found a recipe for me, but I can't
really make you love me.
Oh, no, you know I can't
really make you love me.
Oh, no.
To get to steppin', your tongue is like a weapon. This is Kevin from heaven, and yet, so are ye. Since the age of 17, I've been taking part microphones. You've been taking part menu clone and throwing skeleton bones in the closet. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat between us, but you need a woman. Glorious Steinem diamond defeaters carry my fetus. I'm like the man in the moon. When we kiss, then you swoon on the run.
I've been on the run, the shadow weighs a ton. It's starting to make sense to me.
No,
I can't
really make you love me.
Don't get it done, I'm on the run. I've been on the run, my shadow weighs a ton. I know I found a recipe for me, but I can't
really make you love me.
Oh, no, you know I can't.
What up, what up? This is DJ Static from We Funk Radio, and I'm tuning into DJ Soul Spin.
Times and lies and secrets and finding Jesus. People still won't believe till they eyes perceive it. And they signed agreements, ain't worth my time to read it. These kids got nines and their minds are heated. Must be scrutinized when we apply for visas. I guess it's just a sign of the time's procedures.
Told you so.
When you start being measured by the dough you hold, and the whole globe's controlled and caught up in the process, and frauds in Congress will be plotting our conquest. We take deep, long rests to calm the stress of bomb threats, and hoping that we're not next. Senseless deaths, epidemics, letters to Senate, more interested in protecting their investments.
Told you so.
When you're standing at the crossroads, stranded with the lost souls, and it don't stop. Never. City blocks are hot with fiends that cock rocks and teens that pop blocks. You in your top spot, but only till your stocks drop. That's when your critics will put you up on the shop block. We opt to move every block of your metropolis, so y'all acknowledge and dig us like archaeologists.
You can say I told you so.
When them snakes are blinded for trying to steal my soul glow.
You know we can't trust the government.
Yo, bear with me, the memory carries me. My enemies laugh and hold power like American hegemony. Hysterically, I let it slide like a pair of skis. Animosity's impairing me, that's why I share my care for peace. Apparently, we all dying for a shared dream. Mental space to barge till we charge for air to breathe.
I told you so.
Yep, today we caught up. Tomorrow we'll slay for water and resources. A natural three forces, east, west, and middle. The beast test to kill you, the rest belittle with flesh. There's no higher, like athletes, medical report. We profiling, more violent, sent flying with days you spent by it. Still dying, cause life is ill like a French island.
Told you so.
Open doors to shut, where hope is sold abrupt. The token gold, the bronze, groping holes to fuck. Slaves to sex, holding molten molds of us. In home we trust, but in God we fraud each other. Marauder puppets like Saddam, caught in public. This song is nothing, but never forget the power. For every word spoken, I should take an hour to listen.
You can say I told you so.
I can't help it, it tempts me to
to speak. Yes, I'm a selfish MC.
You know we can't trust the government.
And welcome to Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is your host, Ryan Young. We're starting a little bit late today, but we've got a great show for you today. So stay tuned. This is an environmental radio show for your listening ears. And we endeavor to cover all kinds of issues citywide, or province-wide, or even countrywide, and even on a global scale. But today, we're going to be talking about local organic agriculture. That's a common theme here on this show, and increasingly important, I think, in a world where people are predicting food shortages, crop failures, and rising inflation. Access to good quality food is going to become increasingly important. So the Garlic Festival, which is an event that happens in St. Anne de Bellevue at the Marché St. Anne, or the St. Anne de Bellevue Farmers Market, is coming up this Saturday, and we're going to be talking to Michelle Della Corda about what they have in store for the Garlic Festival. And if you like garlic, you should go to this festival. And even if you don't like garlic, if you like good food, you should go to this festival. But there are things like contests and so on to basically choose the best bulb. So maybe you have the best garlic bulb. You think you have the best garlic bulb. So this is your chance to bring it to this event and have it judged by experts in the field. And so that's coming up this Saturday between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m., I believe, in St. Anne de Bellevue, right on the waterfront near the corner with St. Pierre and Rue St. Anne. And it's a great event, as I said. So we're going to be speaking very soon to somebody from the Marché St. Anne about the Garlic Festival. So stay tuned for that. My name is Ryan Young. And happy morning to you all on this Tuesday. Welcome back to Equilibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. So as I said, we've got Michelle Della Corte on the phone with us, or we're going to be interviewing now. Michelle Della Corte from the Marché Saint-Anne. How are you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing good, Ryan. Yourself?
I'm doing great. So it's great to have you on the show. So I already, before we were playing some music, introduced the Garlic Festival a little bit, but I guess you could do it again. So tell me, what is the St. Anne de Bellevue Garlic Festival?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, this year is going to be the 14th edition of the Garlic Festival. So basically, the day is dedicated to the garlic harvest. We're promoting organic small-scale producers. Coming together as a community to celebrate together.
Nice. And what are some of the events that are going to be happening at the Garlic Festival?
So at the event, there's going to be quite a few conferences, workshops related to garlic, alongside community organizations which will be present, for example, Permaculture St. Anne, Cultivation. And also there's going to be some face painting and a live paint tattoo for the children.
So I know that, for example, if you have a garlic bulb that you grew yourself, there's a contest for the best garlic bulb. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, for sure. So alongside the conferences and workshops, we're going to be having a slew of different contests. So one of them includes the garlic bulb. So yeah, if there's a community member who wants to participate in the contest, we encourage you to bring your best bulb at the market in Lalonde Park at 9 a.m. to be judged.
And there are also some other contests, right?
Yeah, so we have the best garlic bulb. There's also the best garlic costume, the best garlic bouquet, and the best garlic dessert. So if anyone wants to participate, it's open to the public. And if you want more information, I encourage you to go on our website to find out the rules and the regulations. But it's fairly straightforward. But, we really want strong community engagement, so that's the point of these contests.
And if you're looking to buy lots of garlic, I guess this,
yeah,
is, this
100%,
is the place?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of garlic. I think there's going to be 18 garlic vendors in total.
Wow, that's a lot.
Quite a few garlic vendors.
And do you personally like garlic?
So I am a big fan of garlic, so I'm kind of biased because my background... I'm a garden coordinator for another urban agriculture project. So, yeah, I'm a huge supporter of garlic and, small-scale producers. So I love garlic, yeah, especially organic.
That's good. And
yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the farmer's market in general, because this happens every Saturday, and this festival is just one of the Saturdays at the market, right?
Yeah, for sure. So the St. Anne's Farmer's Market has been around for quite a bit of time now. I believe it's been around like 20 years, but originally it was created by a group of environmental supporters from McGill University on McDonnell campus. But yeah, each week there's a farmer's market in Malone Street, so there's over 30 to 35 local producers and artisans that come there 9 to 2 p.m. to sell local goods and products. So I highly encourage the community to come check us out every Saturday.
And is there going to be any live music? Do they close the street for part of the Garlic Festival, or do they? Yeah.
So the St. Anne Street will be closed because that's going to be the Garlic Quarter. So most of the garlic vendors will be placed there. And yeah, there's definitely going to be some live music alongside, as I mentioned, face painting activities and tattoo artists for young children.
And do you know if it's in past years, like before COVID, if it was well attended?
So in previous years, so before COVID, the Garlic Festival did have a very high attendance rate. I believe it was around 5,000 people who used to attend. So it has a very strong following. And yeah, we're very excited this year to be back again because we haven't had a festival in the past 2 years. Last year, it was a very small garlic day. So it was very winnowed down and wasn't to its full capacity or scale. So this year it's going to be full throttle.
And normally the market just goes till 2 p.m., but the Garlic Festival goes till 4 p.m., is that
right? Exactly. We have extended market hours in order to accommodate the event.
And another question I had was, my understanding is there's also a raffle.
Yeah, there's a raffle. So basically all the producers and artisans that will be present will donate some goods to the basket, but also community businesses have given us some items, so Hudson Soap, Bee Factory 2, Victor Rose. So whoever wants to purchase a ticket, it's $3, and all the proceeds go to the West Island Mission. So it's something that we're trying to do to give back to the community, so I encourage people to get a ticket at the front desk when they enter for the Garlic Festival.
And are you looking for volunteers to help out at the Garlic Festival?
Yes, that's a really good point. So we're still taking volunteers. So whoever wants to help us participate to run the contest, to help us at the welcome desk, they're more than welcome to help out.
Nice. And how do you like to use your own garlic? And what kind of dishes or how do you like to prepare your garlic?
For me personally, I use garlic in a lot of my pasta dishes. So, yeah, I feel like for me, garlic is good for like a base. So, for a stew, but yeah, also for a lot of my pasta dishes. So, yeah, that's how I use my garlic.
Nice. And I guess a lot of people don't realize what an easy crop it is to grow on some level. Not to say that, you know, there aren't, you know, great garlic growers that do it just right, but a lot of people don't realize how you can grow garlic yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So garlic actually is a pretty easy crop to grow. So especially, I would say, fall garlic. So that's the garlic that a lot of us, we grow in the fall. It's very hardy and, yeah, quite forgiving. Just it needs a lot of compost. But, yeah, I would highly recommend anyone to try to grow garlic, a small little pouch too. It's very low maintenance for the most part.
And a lot of people don't realize that you can, it's a crop that you actually plant in like October or even November, and then you leave there over the winter, and then voila, in the spring it comes up, and then you harvest it in July.
Yeah, exactly. So for fall garlic, it takes a really long time. I think it has like one of the longest rates for vegetables in order to mature. But yeah, it takes a very long time. But then when it's ready, it's always so much fun. And also before that, you can harvest the garlic scapes and you can make a pesto. So there's a lot of good uses for garlic, not just the bulb, but the whole plant in general.
And often people are not using their garden in the late fall, right? I mean, it's something, you know, yes, it takes up space up until July, but you're kind of, otherwise, you're not really using your garden for much at that time of year.
Yeah, that's really true. So usually at the end of the season, a lot of things are not producing. So that's when you would plant the fall garlic. So usually like end of October.
And what do you think people like about the St. Anne's Farmers Market?
So personally, I think the people like the market because it's just a great environment and atmosphere. The people are so nice and welcoming. The vendors are very talented, and there's a lot of great goods being sold. And also, too, personally, I think the location of it, just it's located on the water, so it's so scenic and beautiful. So I think personally that's what draws a lot of people, just the ambience of it and St. Anne as the background, which is quite a beautiful backdrop.
And then, of course, if they were to come out to the Garlic Festival, the rest of the town has restaurants and boutiques and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So the whole main street is full of local businesses. So Bee Factory, which is going to be right across from us, has a whole bunch of local products from Quebec artists. So I highly recommend people to check them out. Also, Twigs Cafe 2, they're a small local cafe. They have fair trade coffee and really delicious desserts. So, yeah, there's a lot of different stops, not just the Garlic Fest, but all these beautiful little stores on the main street.
All right. And so what's the website if they wanted to check out more?
So it's www.marchésaintanne, and then you're going to see the Garlic Festival information on the main website.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us and telling us about this great festival.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. And that was Michelle Della Corta, who is the events coordinator for the St. Anne de Bellevue Farmers Market. And she was talking about the Garlic Festival. If you want to find out more, you can go to their website, which is www.marchésaintanne.ca. And Saint is with an E, so Marche, M-A-R-C-H-E, Saint, S-A-I-N-T-E, and then Anne, .ca. And then they have a section of the website dedicated to the Garlic Festival. And I think they're still looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in volunteering, I think there is some perks by volunteering, perhaps some free garlic or a free Garlic Festival t-shirt. So check it out. And I know that Ramzi Kassouf is the MC for the Garlic Festival, and he's a local organic farmer in Senneville. His farm is called Les Jardins Caria. So he will also be there, and some of the workshops include, well, there are things for kids as well, but in terms of conferences and workshops, there's Cooking with Black Garlic with Isabelle Demers from Eye on Achette, EC, at 11 a.m. There at 1 p.m., there's a garlic braiding workshop, which is quite interesting. At 1:30 p.m., there's another workshop on black garlic. There is a French workshop at 2 p.m. called 10 variétés d'ail cultivées from Ferme Champ Libre. And at 2:30 p.m., Christopher Warbell will be doing a workshop on permaculture. And at 3 p.m., Permaculture St. Anne and Cultive Action is going to be doing a workshop, I guess promoting what they do. And at, well, all day long, there is the children's garlic coloring book activity. And there is an insect matching game for children with Sandra Paul Roulant. And the McGill student-run ecological gardens are going to have a workshop all day, I guess, presentation with guide available at their stand in terms of how to plant your garlic. So sounds very good, very interesting. And we're gonna play some more Miles Davis here before we play an interview with Annick Joannis from Verger Hudson, which is an organic apple orchard in Hudson, and they sell at the St. Anne de Bellevue Farmers Market, and they will be there on Saturday at the Garlic Festival. So stay tuned for that.
Hi, I'm David Suzuki, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Information to grow the brain.
And you are listening to Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. And I hope you're enjoying the show. And we're going to start with... we are going to start with something, but I wanted to tell you what music we heard before that station ID, and it was the Miles Davis Quintet from the album Roundabout Midnight, and that was A Lucha. And at the beginning of the show, we also played an excerpt from Around Midnight, the title track of the album Roundabout Midnight. So yeah, you're listening to Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM, also heard on the World Wide Web at www.ckut.ca. And recently, not too long ago, I interviewed Annick Joannis from Verger Hudson, which is an organic orchard in Hudson, and they sell at the farmer's market in St. Anne de Bellevue. They're not quite ready for U-Pick yet, but they are also open to the public at their orchard in Hudson on Main Road. And I'm going to play the interview that I did with Annick Joannis about a year ago. And all of the information in this interview is still relevant. And it's time for apple eating. They're already harvesting. I was there at Verger Hudson last week. And they are already got a few varieties, even some Paula Reds, which are ready. So it's a great little organic apple orchard. So here is my interview with Annick Joannis. Picking time. So I wanted to feature a great little place that you can go apple picking here in the local area, actually in Hudson, Quebec, and where the apples are organic. They are not sprayed with any pesticides. And that's at the Verger de Hudson Biologique. And I spoke to Annick Joannis, who is the co-owner of Verger de Hudson Biologique. And we sat down right alongside the orchard and had a chat about what it's like having an organic orchard. Here is that interview now. This is Ryan Young with Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM, and I'm here with Annick Joannis, who is the co-owner of Verger de Hudson Biologique, an organic apple orchard in Hudson, Quebec. And how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thanks for doing this interview. And one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, your orchard is very close to the Ottawa River.
Yes.
We're kind of on the banks of the Ottawa River across the street from the water side of the road. And why is that good for an apple orchard?
Well, you need a microclimate in an apple orchard. Well, you actually need it for a lot of different productions. Specifically in the apple orchard, the flowers bloom in mid-May. Mid-May, you still have the chance of frost. And so your blooms are, you know, are subject to frost between 8 and 10 days. Now that period sounds like it's a very short period, but when you're living it, it's extremely long, because that danger is there. It's a very important feature, yes, of an orchard or a wine grower's to have a microclimate. So the lake is giving off heat basically, and so it could make the difference between that, you know, that degree where your flowers freeze and fall off, or they don't.
What does an apple orchardist do when they lose their crop?
Well, a lot of apple orchardists, you know, have insurance, have crop insurance. We personally don't believe in crop insurance. We, you know, sort of make do with whatever nature gives us for that particular year. And, you know, we're very creative, so we do often find ways to make ends meet if we need to. But otherwise, yeah, normally they will have insurance for that.
And some varieties may flower a little later, right?
So yes.
So you might,
yes.
If you have a diverse variety
exactly.
of apples.
Yes, maybe, exactly. Yeah. We thought we might lose our earlier apples, We thought if we're losing anything, because we did have a, you know, one night where it was really down to the wire, and Eric was building fires to, you know, try to keep the temperature up in the orchard, and so we thought, well, maybe we will lose some of our earlier apples because they bloom earlier, and they were in more in full bloom than some of the other varieties.
And I do notice on your farm that it's not always just apples. Sometimes you've got pear trees or cherry trees or plum trees. Is that just out of personal interest, or is that like how you might want to expand, or?
Well, I would say mostly out of personal interest, and also, you know, we listen to our clients, we listen to our customers, and if they're asking us for plums, they want to know if we have plums. Well, you know what? Let's do plums. Let's do pears. We like to stick to fruit trees. And we also have Saskatoon berries. So that's the little berry that we do, is the little shrub. And it does very well. So it's normally found, you know, in the Canadian prairies. And it does really well here. So we do have those. But, you know, whatever sort of piques our interest, right now I'm really interested in planting les groseilles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not currants? Is that currants?
No, it's not currants.
Gooseberries?
Gooseberries.
Okay.
So I'm really, really into gooseberries. And we're looking at a test spot for gooseberries, because they're really quite good. They resemble a raisin in their texture. They're very crunchy, and they've just got a really great taste, and they make the greatest jam. So they're very, very naturally high in pectin.
And is that Hascap berry then, maybe?
Nope. So Hascap berry is different. La Camerise is different.
And you're interested in that too, maybe?
Camerise, well, they do a lot in Lac Saint-Jean. So the Camerise, I think, was first introduced to, because it's an earlier fruit, it's earlier than blueberries, and it was introduced in Saguenay because they already do blueberries, and they already have the equipment and the infrastructure for that type of berry. Yes, so I'm sticking to the Saskatoon berry because I do it well, and gooseberries are definitely on my radar for the next few years.
Hmm. Why did you want to avoid growing apples conventionally with chemicals?
Well, when we first started planting, we were in our early 20s, and we knew we wanted to have a family, and we knew we didn't want our kids growing up in a conventionally, you know, sprayed orchard. It was pretty obvious that wasn't the trend either. You know, I don't know why you would start any sort of agricultural business with the minding of conventional nowadays. I think it's out.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things I know you do is there's a species of moth that you try to confuse. So can you give me a little bit of a story about that?
Yes.
How you deal with that organically?
So one of the ways that we try to control certain insects is with sexual confusion. So basically, we're putting traps in the orchard atop of the tree, because that is where the males will propagate and look for the female. And basically, we're putting the hormones, the female hormones, at the bottom of the tree, and they're looking for them at the top. And so that way, they're just simply not reproducing. So in organic agriculture, it's just a bunch of little tricks that you're sometimes playing on insects. So instead of systematically spraying and getting rid of everything, and in turn getting rid of everything that's beneficial, you're just basically playing tricks on them and convincing them that they're just not in the right place, and they know to go look somewhere else. So if you really want to have beautiful apples, you do have to treat your apples. And it's not even about beautiful, it's not even about the way they look or the size that they are. It really is just, you don't want worms in your apples. That's basically it. So to achieve that, you do need to treat your apples. And we're treating them with mineral-based products. And so I would say over the past 18 years, there's been a lot of development in that sector. We've been a test orchard as well for organic growing. We do a lot of apples in Quebec. That's one of our major exports is apples. So, you know, it's important to do a lot of research in that sector, and that more people get on the wagon and become organic, because it is one of the most sprayed fruits.
I also heard once that they even will spray during certain years to change the sort of boom and bust cycle.
Yes.
In
absolutely.
Which seems like a strange concept, because they're kind of destroying fruit, right?
Yes. We need to do that in organic agriculture as well, because fruits are cyclical. So apple trees will produce in high amounts every 2 years. So they'll produce in high amounts 1 year, and then the following year they will rest. And so the year that they are producing in high amounts, that's actually problematic as well, because you're breaking branches, your apples aren't growing as big as they should be because there are six or seven of them all clustered together. So you need to thin. You need to thin in an orchard no matter what, whether you're doing it chemically or by hand. So conventionally, they're doing it by chemicals every year systematically, so you're teaching your orchard to grow more on a level base. And we do it by hand. So you can imagine that in the month of July, when the apples are about, you know, 2 inches in diameter, we need to thin every single year. And it's quite a amount of labor. So it's just, it's labor-based versus chemical-based.
And then when you thin, you're just thinning by hand.
You're just thinning by hand. So you're looking at every branch, counting out the number of apples that are on there, thinning out the ones that are too clustered together. You want them to be more spread out on your branch so you're not breaking your branch as well. And yeah, just to help your orchard along.
And so do you employ people every year for that, or are you able to do
we
the
do.
Work?
Yeah. We do. We employ on, you know, high season is maybe about 15 employees high season. But otherwise, most of the labor is definitely us and the kids that are now grown and 18, 16, and 11. So they can do a lot.
classic. And what do you really like about having an apple orchard, just from even a spiritual side?
I would say just the different views and just everything that goes on in an orchard every single day, every single season. There's always something going on. There's always something you need to do, because you're in February, you're pruning, so you've got your snowshoes on and you're walking on top of the snow to get to your trees and prune. There's just you're living with the seasons. You really are. We have our own bees, so because we're certified organic, we can keep our bees in the orchard, versus conventional would be bringing in bees for pollination for about a period of 8 to 10 days. And then removing them because you're using chemical insecticides and you'd be killing off your hives. So Eric took it upon himself, my husband, to start beekeeping, and just absolutely fell in love with it. And so we have you know, bees in the orchard, and that, again, seasonally, it's just everything. There's always something going on, and just the views that you have every single day is different. When there's a fog, when there's a rain, when there are clouds, when it's a bright sunshine. It's very, very peaceful, I must say. We're extremely lucky, and we know it. We wake up every single day thinking about how lucky we are.
Mm. And in terms of diversity and trying to have more than just one variety of apple, what have you done there?
So we right now have 16 varieties of apples. Our criteria for choosing the varieties of apples is always number one, its resistance, the tree's resistance, or the variety's resistance to scab and disease. So that's criteria number one. Criteria number two is the taste. So we don't look at varieties in the sense of, will it produce equally sized apples? Will it produce apples that will travel well? That's not what we want to know. We want to know, is the tree going to survive well? Is it going to produce apples? Is it going to be more resistant to scab or certain diseases? And then taste, of course. So those are basically our criterias. And, you know, like anything, you don't want just one variety. Because if you have one variety and something does happen in your orchard, which it has happened to us, we've had, you know, one major disease a few years ago that wiped out an entire variety. So 200 trees completely gone, and we just basically saved the rest. So we were really scared that our orchard was gonna go. But because we had so many different varieties, you know, a lot of the trees resisted, and they responded well to, we basically had to cut down a lot of branches that had disease.
And was it fire blight?
It was fire blight, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the biggest enemy in organic agriculture, I want to say, is fire blight, because when it starts, it's fire. It's exactly, the name says it. It's like just a fire that goes through your orchard. Mm-hmm. So we were very glad then that we had so many varieties and that we only lost one variety to fire blight.
And what variety was that?
It was called Prince William. And so we never planted that variety again.
So and tell me about what it's like interacting with the public when you have an orchard, and because you do you pick here as well.
Yes.
And maybe for our listeners, I mean, we'll say it again at the end of the interview, but how people can come and buy your product. And
well, one of the best things that I love about having an apple orchard is holding you pick. Because we are an organic orchard, we're a little bit different. We really want to concentrate on the apples, why you're coming here. You're coming to pick apples. You're coming to spend time in the orchard. You're coming to spend time in our backyard. And we want you to enjoy it. And what I like to do mostly is, you know, tell people about organic agriculture and really so that they really understand, A, why they're paying a premium, because they are paying a premium. And, you know, when you explain things and people really do understand and they really do appreciate what you're doing. And just, you know, talking about exactly, again, why we have different varieties. And it's like that for everything. We have different varieties in tomatoes and green peppers and red peppers. And, you know, it's important for people to realize where food is coming from. So, you know, if you can enjoy a moment, a peaceful moment, ideally, in an orchard and really, you know, take it all in, take the moment in, I think that's the best, that's the biggest reward for me for having, holding you pick.
Nice. And so you're generally open every day of the week or?
Yes, we're open 7 days a week, 10 to 5. On weekends, we ask for reservations, Saturday and Sunday, simply on our website. It's all self-explanatory. And during the week, you don't need reservations. It's nice and quiet as well during the week. So you can come by and have a nice little you pick. It doesn't take very long. The orchard is not very big. It's 3,000 trees, which is relatively small for a Quebec orchard. So, you know, there are no tractor rides. It's just you grab a wagon, you grab your box, and you can do a quick little pick. You can come more than once during the season. And that's sort of the point, too. The point is not to overload yourself with pounds and pounds and pounds of apples. The point is to maybe come, you know, in, for shorter amounts of time and pick what's fresh and enjoy it.
Nice, nice. And I see sometimes like birdhouses and stuff like
yes.
that. So why do you put up birdhouses?
So we have swallows, barn swallows. We realized that we have a few barns on the site. One of them is a 100-year-old barn. And we noticed that when the orchard started going up, and the bees as well, we realized that we had barn swallows. And they started moving in. And, you know, barn swallows come back to the same nest every year. So it didn't take too long. Within a few years, we had about 6 or 7 couples coming back every year to the barn. And it didn't take long for us to realize, well, you know, this is their home, really. So, you know, they should be staying. And we realized how beneficial they really are. The, you know, the amount of insects that they eat in one day that they consume is just phenomenal. And so throughout the orchard, we've started putting in new swallow houses. And so the ones that we have in the barn, now we're up to about 16 couples.
Wow.
So we're very proud of that because, you know, swallows are somewhat endangered in
they
Quebec.
Yeah.
And so we're very proud of that. And like I said, we basically gave them the barn. We cover anything we need to. That's, you know, in terms of machinery, we just cover with tarps and it's basically their barn. And throughout the orchard, they're bicolore.
Yeah, the hirondelle bicolore.
Yeah. So it's the hirondelle bicolore. So they're the ones taking up house in the orchard. And they're just, they're magnificent, magnificent birds.
Nice, nice. For an organic farmer that grows apples, sometimes you hear about this more, I guess, in the growing of cash crops, more maybe like corn and soy. But, you know, it seems like the system is in favor of the conventional in terms of government grants and those kinds of things. Is that what you find?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially when you're starting out. So once you're established, then you have access to maybe more subsidies or more programs. But when you're starting out, which we really went from nothing. So it took, you know, years to be able to establish a business. The manner of the way the system is set up, rather, is quite difficult to deal with. So, A, buying land, just right there, buying a smaller amount of land. So we have 57 arpents, and we had to split a piece of land in half. So the family farm was actually much bigger, and we wanted to buy 57 arpents. And that was extremely difficult, because it was basically the attitude is go big or go home. So this isn't going to be viable. Nobody's going to live off this agriculture. It's not worth it. It's too small scale. We're not letting you do it, basically. So it took a few years to get that to happen. And then it took a few years to actually be able to live on the land, so to build a house and live here. So we weren't living here when we first established. And that was very difficult because, you know, as most people know, you're working sun up, sun down when in agriculture. And so that was quite difficult. We were building a family as well. And so that also took a few years. there are a lot of roadblocks, and you really have to believe in your project because, you know, I think it's gotten a little bit better now. I've heard that it's, you know, it's a little bit easier to buy smaller plots of land, and they do believe that it is viable. And you have to prove that it's viable as well, which I completely understand. But, you know, if you haven't done it, you're not going to really know if it's viable or not as well, you know, and everybody's different. But you're right in saying that, you know, agriculture is go big or go home.
Right, right, absolutely. And in terms of the local community, the town of Hudson or the MRC, do you have good relationships? Do you think they should be doing more? Or?
We've had nothing but good, you know, feedback from the town and also from the community. And I was hoping that this orchard would be a community-based orchard in the sense that Hudsonites and locals, you know, all around, regional, I should say, would feel like it is their orchard. And, you know, we really do it for people. We don't do it. We're not doing it for us. You know, we do it so that people will enjoy it and that they'll have access to organic food. And we've had nothing but great feedback from them. And, you know, for example, Hudson is still very much zoned agricultural. So there is so much room here for farms. You know, access to land, again, we all know, is one of the hardest things for farmers. But, you know, sometimes you need to think outside the box. And, you know, our deal with the land was basically pulled through on a handshake. And for a lot of years, we didn't even actually own the land before we started planting, but we started planting anyway. And so sometimes you have to think outside the box, and if you really want it, then it can happen.
Hmm. And that was my interview with Annick Joannis from the Verger Hudson, which is an organic orchard in Hudson, Quebec. And you can find them by looking for their website, which is vergerbiologique.ca. So you are listening to Ecolibrium on CKUT 90.3 FM. Earlier in the show, we were promoting the Garlic Festival in St. Anne de Bellevue at the Farmers Market in St. Anne this coming Saturday between 9 and 4 p.m., 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and the Verger Hudson Biologique will also be at the Garlic Festival this coming Saturday and all the following Saturdays of the Farmers Market until late October. So thanks for listening. We're basically out of time, and we're going to leave you with some music. You can always email us at ecolibrium@ckut.ca with, you know, comments or suggestions. You can check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ecolibrium/ckut Montreal. You can go to our archives at ckut.ca by going to the link to programming and archives and then looking for our show and the schedule and clicking on it. And there you can listen to past shows. And we do have a website, which is equilibriumradio.weebly.com. And that has a link to our SoundCloud page, which has some of our old video, old interviews. And finally, we have an affiliated podcast on Spotify called the Equilibrium Radio Podcast. So we are going to leave you with some music from Narada Michael Walden. And Narada Michael Walden is this amazing drummer that played in the Mahavishnu Orchestra with John McLaughlin. I may not be saying Mahavishnu correctly, but he came out with his own solo album in the 70s. This is a tune we'll leave you with from that album called The Sun Is Dancing. So have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. the moon is dancing. The stars are dancing.